Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says a busy schedule awaits participating teams when qualifying matches resume for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon and the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Samson Omale has that story and more sports news for us.
CAF in a statement said the Nations Cup qualifiers will resume on the 9th to the 7th of November and is scheduled to be completed in March next year. The group stage of the World Cup qualifiers will start on the 31st of May next year, with the final playoff round scheduled to take place in November 2021. Head of Football World Governing Body Gianni Infantino has been cleared of corruption allegations by the Football Regulators Independent Ethics Committee, but he remains under investigation by Swiss authorities over the meeting between the FIFA chief and the Swiss Attorney General, Michael Labor. Nigerian Football Federation President Amadou Pinnick has weighed into the matter, declaring support for Gianni Infantino.
We are unrepentant in support of Gianni. Gianni went and appointed a black African, a Senegalese, a lady, to be General Secretary of FIFA. So please, with all due respect, Blatter, you served your time. Platini, you served your time. Allow this young man. Everybody's happy with him.
Away from football now, world 5,000 meters record holder Joshua Cheptegei and three other Ugandan athletes have gone into mandatory self-isolation as a precautionary measure. Joshua Cheptegei, during the Diamond League last Friday in Monaco, broke the 5,000 meters record previously held by Ethiopian track legend Kenenisa Bekele. He went on to set a new world record in the event, which he ran in 12 minutes 35.36 seconds in the 5,000 meters. Cheptegei, who will now self-isolate in his home village of Chepchabai, says there's nothing to worry about. In the meantime, Kenyan long-distance runner and marathon world record holder Eliud Kipchoge has predicted more record-breaking success for Ugandan athlete following his impressive performance in Monaco.
Joshua is in good shape. It will be to locally dominate for the next year, even over 5 years or even to 10 years. 5,000, he has broken the world record for 5,000. I think 10,000 will follow. You know, he's capable of actually smashing all the records. And in future, I'm expecting him to come and actually run under 2 hours in marathon.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Serious realities indeed, Joshua. That's Joshua Cheptegei, Uganda's world champion and world record-breaking runner. Meanwhile, Uganda's national football team coach, Jonathan McKinstry, says the Cranes are ready to take up the challenge of that busy Nations Cup and World Cup qualifying schedule ahead. Magume Davis Rakawinj joins us now from Kampala, Uganda. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny, and our listeners. On Wednesday, the Confederation of African Football, or CAF, released the fixtures for African countries that had been suspended because of COVID-19 pandemic. Uganda Cranes coach Jonathan McKinstry calls it, into quotes, a blessing in disguise for a busy schedule expected ahead.
It really is going to be a busy schedule, but that's going to be good for us, because the more the players train together, the more they play together, the better their just interactions on the field are. And so what we should expect is that we're going to be able to advance our playing style even further in the next 12 months.
The Uganda Cranes resume with African qualifier double header against South Sudan in November. The Cranes will also play in the CECAFA Challenge expected in December and then in Chan Tournament. McKinstry says local best players will have a chance to prove themselves for a call the senior squad.
They've all been told that, look, you need to be in the best condition possible, because your opportunity to impress is really short, not just for those November games. But if you think about it, if Sakafa goes ahead in December, and then that rolls straight into Chan in January, it basically means that the domestic players here have about 6 weeks to prove they deserve to be in the training squad.
Uganda's domestic league was suspended in March due to COVID-19 disease.
I know the players are hungry to get back on the field for the Cranes. The coaching staff are hungry to get back out there. And, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be busy, but it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of hard work as well.
McKinstry says he has already shared training manuals for players to train at home so they are fit enough when they are called for national duty. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinjini, Kampala, Uganda.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Jim Stevenson had engines revving for a great Formula One driving champion in his latest Game Room Sports package. And Jim joins us now with that story and more.
Absolutely incredible. I feel brand new today.
He may feel brand new, but what isn't new is Lewis Hamilton winning a Formula One race. The British Mercedes driver took the checkered flag at the Spanish Formula One Grand Prix.
So hot out there and so challenging, but the tires were the biggest challenge today. But I was really able to remain in a zone that I don't remember the last time I was in that one. So it was, it's hard to explain it, but it felt fantastic out there, and what an incredible result.
Hamilton led from start to finish to claim his 88th career Grand Prix win. Red Bull's Max Verstappen once again trailed Hamilton to place second.
Yeah, it was decent. I think we had a good start into turn one. From there, I initially, of course, tried to keep up with Lewis, but he was just a bit too quick. From there onwards, we basically just followed our strategy, and I could keep fell through behind, which is positive, I think. I mean, second is good, maybe more than good, because we split the two Mercedes cars. So, overall, a good weekend again.
Verstappen split the Mercedes Silver Arrows duo as Valtteri Bottas finished third after a rough start.
The start definitely cost me a lot today. To be honest, I don't know yet what happened. Just to get away from the line was not great. And then with a long run into turn one, when you're at the front, then it feels even worse because you have no tow, you know, so the cars behind their benefit.
Hamilton has now secured more podium finishes than any other driver in the sport's history, spraying champagne for the 156th time, one more than German great Michael Schumacher did. Coronavirus has made playing cricket tough enough at home. But Australia's one-day international and T20 squad of 21 players are preparing to leave for England on Sunday. Aaron Finch leads the team that has dealt with difficult conditions and protocols that the players have followed so far while training in their respective states.
All the protocols that are going on from the government, the stuff that Cricket Australia has put in place for us to make sure that we're as low a risk as possible of contracting anything before we get on the plane. It's been a difficult time, no doubt, but not nearly as difficult as some people are doing it. To be able to still get into the junction over and train in a great facility has still been really positive.
Finch and his teammates are confident in the other team, the one charged with keeping them virus-free.
I think the people that we have in place who are doing all that due diligence in making sure that, for example, the bio bubble in the UK and then the IPL, I know Cricket Australia working closely with the franchises and the BCCI for that tournament to make sure that they're as tight as possible and as risk-free as they can be in this current environment. So I think that we're putting a lot of trust in them people to be doing their job really well. And from what we've seen so far, it's been above and beyond what I expected it to be, that everyone's pulled together and done a fantastic job.
While he pays attention to the finer points of the game, Australia's captain says paying attention to protocol details will help promote cricket.
We're in a position to help continue the global game, and there should be no more motivation than that to do everything right. And we've been really strong with the guys in the last couple of weeks about making sure that we do literally everything that we can that is in line with the protocols to keep the global game going, because at the end of the day, if that falls over, then we're all out of jobs and the game is not in a healthy state, which we can't afford to have.
Aaron Finch also praised the career of former India captain MS Dhoni, who last week decided to quit international cricket.
He's had an extraordinary career, I think winning the T20 World Cup, the 50 over and the Champions Trophy while leading India is such a huge responsibility, and he's been the epitome of professionalism and calmness, and I suppose when you look at his wicket-keeping ability and then his batting, it's just extraordinary. He's one of the all-time great one-day and T20 cricketers, so the game will miss him, no doubt, and he's been amazing for Indian cricket, but for world cricket, so I wish him all the best in retirement.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Training elite swimmers without a pool is nearly impossible, especially when open waters are available for just 3 months out of the year. Khaled Al-Neksabi is the head of Libya's swimming sub-federation in Benghazi. An athlete needs at least 2 months to regain fitness, and after 2 months from the start of the summer, we can barely enter him into competitions. If the state fixes closed swimming pools and the athlete was able to train throughout the year, the matter would have been different, believe me. We have talents and potential champions. Like other Libyan athletes, swimmers in Benghazi are critical of local authorities' lack of maintenance at the Sports City complex, and in particular, the state of the main swimming pool, which has led to reluctance from some to continue competing in the sport. These are the conditions for swimming in all of Libya. I'm not talking about Benghazi only. We're communicating with the General Federation and its subsidiary federations in Tripoli, Sliton, Misrata, Tobruk, and Derna. All of them suffer the same thing. Swimmer Ali Al-Orfi says the problem has been ongoing for years. In Benghazi, swimming pools are not available. We exercise only in the summer season, 3 months in the sea. Then we stop after that until winter because there are no swimming pools. Unfortunately, we've suffered from this problem since 2014. He says some swimmers continue over the winter. It depends on the ability of the swimmer. There are swimmers who are able to carry on, and some of them have to study, and the rest of them train physical exercises. Most of them continue with physical exercise and bodybuilding. Even though several Libyan swimmers have world-class talent, Ali Al-Orfi says swimmers who train in pools have a clear advantage. In local participation in pool competitions, we notice that our swimmers are not at the same level as those who exercise in pools. The timing of the other pool swimmers is better than our numbers, and this is a big problem in swimming. A big problem not to have an international swimming pool, or even half the international at 25 meters. Ali Al-Orfi and other aspiring competitors have been left with no choice but to train in the sea, as sport in general suffers from similar problems throughout Libya. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Earlier in the show, in Samson Omale's report, we heard from marathon world record holder Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. Kipchoge is training for a special London Marathon on October 4th that will take place at St. James's Park and will feature only elite runners. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, the energetic Andy Edwards says it's shaping up as a fascinating competition.
This is going to be a London Marathon like no other, for the simple reason that instead of more than 40,000 runners following a path from Greenwich in South London to the Mall beside Buckingham Palace in the heart of the capital, the event will be split in two, comprising an elite race only in one of London's parks, St. James's, while the mass runners take part in a virtual race from their homes because of coronavirus regulations. What does this mean for the elite race, now that we know that Eliud Kipchoge and Kenenisa Bekele in the men's event, the two fastest marathon runners in history, and not forgetting Bridget Koskay, who has taken women's marathon running onto a different planet with her world record of 2 hours 14 minutes and 4 seconds, will all be on the start line. No marathon has a bigger budget to attract the stars than London, and the essence of the competition, including elite wheelchair racers, will remain the same, as the race director Hugh Brasher said when the venue was announced recently.
The gods of the sport will still be taking part in an elite race in a government official elite sport under the COVID-19 regulations around St. James's Park. Eliud Kipchoge, Kenenisa Bekele, Bridget Koskay, Manuela Shah, David Weir.
I believe that the setting of the race has the potential to produce tactics and psychological approach that we never come close to seeing in a marathon held in normal circumstances. Well, here's an insider's view, albeit from a runner of modest ability and achievement, that is myself. The race venue is compact, to say the least. St. James's Park has a perimeter of just over a mile, or 1.7 kilometres. Think of it as the equivalent of a 1,500-metre track race being confined to one long lap. I used to run there, usually hither and thither on the cross-country section on the infield when I worked nearby in the 1980s. The asphalt path which will be used for the race has no hills to speak of, just the occasional undulation. It's also quite narrow. Six runners abreast would fill the path. This is what it will mean for the elite. Top-class men are running each marathon mile in 5 minutes 30 or sometimes better. With laps barely longer than a mile, a leader can still be in sight of their pursuers, and this will apply to the women's race as well. Unlike a long road, that could give the runners chasing the leader a psychological boost, being able to gauge their energy distribution. On the other hand, some elite runners, say men running around 2 hours 10 tempo or slightly faster, are going to be lapped if the leader or leading group are on course for a finishing time in the range of 2.02 or 2.04. Presuming that London will organise pacing groups as usual, including one for super fast times in the region of Eliud Kipchoge's world record of 2.01.39, those pacemakers, plus out-and-out racers, will represent a lot of traffic on what will be the narrow perimeter path of St. James's. Just imagine, 35 laps or more of the elite field whizzing around, barely time for watching TV audience to catch their breath before they come round again. It will be more like a cycle race in a velodrome, but without the banking, and barely a dull moment. If they are near their best, I would expect Eliud Kipchoge, the world record holder, and Kenenisa Bekele, who was only 2 seconds outside that time in Berlin last September, to be contesting the men's race, but on a much tighter stage than usual. The same applies to the women's race, where Brigid Kosgei, providing she is even reasonably close to her world record form, is the favourite. But that is not the whole story of a big city marathon. It's the equivalent of a fair-sized city on the move. These races have anything from 30,000 runners lining up in normal times. The London Marathon, as far as the mass field is concerned, is following the trend and going virtual, as the race director Hugh Brasher explained last week.
What we're asking is the 45,000 people that would have been making that incredible journey at 26.2 miles from Greenwich to Westminster with those other athletes, now that they make that journey in a different way, in their way, from their homes on the 4th of October.
There are, of course, many more serious aspects to the coronavirus than sports events being cancelled. But sport is also a business, providing employment for some and entertainment for many. That applies just as much to marathons, which, once they achieve a certain size, have to be run as a business. A race director is looking at how an elite field is recruited, which means prize money, perhaps appearance fees, TV coverage and other media coverage, and other forms of publicity, all which are intended to attract sponsors. Then the mass field is important in creating public interest and participation, plus the income from those entrance fees. Big city races usually have three sources of income: entrance fees, sponsorship, and perhaps public subsidy, the latter from a regional government or city council, which recognises how much of an economic boost an influx of thousands of runners, many from abroad, bring to their town in race week. Marathon races are not achieving anything like that level of income this year. Unless a vaccine for the coronavirus is found to be workable, regulations which prevent mass gatherings set by local or national government may still be in place next year, and a big marathon is certainly a mass gathering. Now that is a gloomy, but I believe realistic note, and here's another prospect to consider. I reckon the chances of the Tokyo Olympics taking place next year are 50-50 at best, and if they don't happen in 2021, I don't think they'll happen at all. For the sunny side of sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. In National Basketball Association playoff action Thursday, the Los Angeles Lakers trounced the Portland Trail Blazers in Orlando, Florida, to even their first round series at one game each. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
The Lakers earned their first playoff victory in 8 years, clobbering the Blazers 111-88. With the series now tied at a game apiece, Coach Frank Vogel says his Lakers team needs to stay hungry.
Obviously, this was an important game for us. We have tremendous respect for them, and we're going to have to battle the way we did tonight every game in the series.
Anthony Davis led the way with 31 points. The Lakers made a franchise playoff record 14 three-point shots. Portland's Damian Lillard left the game in the third quarter with a dislocated finger. He finished with 18 points. I am Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. In more NBA playoff results, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Orlando Magic 111-96. This first-round series is now tied at one game each. Reigning league most valuable player Giannis Antetokounmpo led the Bucks with 28 points and 20 rebounds. Elsewhere, the Houston Rockets took a 2-0 lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder with a 111-98 victory. And the Miami Heat also hold a 2-0 series lead after a 109-100 win against the Indiana Pacers. And that wraps up the August 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.